This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd.
That's right, all four of us here for episode 171. After a two-week hiatus, unfortunately. Life's been crazy. It's been exciting, though, and we have plenty to talk about this week because of it. A lot to talk about would be Tallgrass. But before we get into it, how are you guys doing?
Doing good. Surviving.
I'm doing better than surviving. I'm significantly increased my Assassin's Creed Odyssey hours.
Played. I think this is what happened last time. Bob and Tyler were kind of on the surviving side. Now I'm just like, I'm great. I'm playing video games, watching movies, doing.
I mean,
we didn't only got a stretch from Tyler this time, though.
I'm just living my best life.
I'm good.
All right. Well, we got a big movie news happening, big TV news happening, even some video game news, and I'm sure Adam will want to talk Assassin's Creed in there as well. But biggest thing that happened for us was last weekend was the Tallgrass Film Festival, and we do continue our film festival coverage starting this weekend at the Denver Film Festival. So Film Festival. But Bob and myself, along with some other Project Nerd team members, went out to Wichita, Kansas last weekend for the 16th annual Tallgrass Film Festival. I want to say it was our fifth or sixth time to go. Probably fifth, if I remember correctly.
I think probably fifth.
Yeah. Great. We didn't go last year, so we had been gone for a year. We got pulled back in, treated like family again. That convention's so wonderful. So many of the interviews, we talk about it with the filmmakers that come out. There's multiple filmmakers that were back. They're like, I was here like 5 years ago with one movie, and it was so great that I had to come back and promote this movie here. In the past, we've seen Mark Covino, Ethan, all of them come back multiple years too. I don't think the volunteers have changed at all in the six to 7 years we've gone there. That tells you what kind of community of festival it is. It's so good, and we're treated like part of the family. We were set up in the Scottish Rite Center, got the big room with beautiful background with the stairs and stained glass window.
That place is so gorgeous. Oh my gosh.
You should have seen it though, Adam. When we got there, Jeff and I went in there to set up the production. I think Bob was getting badges. They said, okay, you're up in the Egyptian room. And Carrie, I guess, did a bunch of research on it. He was like, yeah, that's the room I wanted. We get up there, this gorgeous nook in the corner, just these stained glass windows, these old gold chairs. And I'm like, this is wonderful. But we had to share the room. And then Ashley, who we've known for quite some time, who's been, like I said, been a volunteer there forever, who, congratulations, by the way, she premiered her first short film there this year. But she came in and was like, you guys are going to hate me. I'm moving you down here. And I ran upstairs, and Jeff already had the lights set up and everything. I was like, Jeff, stop. And he's like, I'm going to hurt you. I'm like, it's all right. We'll carry this stuff down. So we carried it down, got the huge room to ourselves. It was still a great setup. 16 interviews and an I'm Not Famous recorded. Bob, you got how many movies in?
Nine or 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost count.
We'll find out when the reviews go up. There will be a 9 or 10 from him. I did only see three movies of the five I intended, but we do have a couple coming to us via digital screener to round out that the review side of the process. But before we get into too much of the fun activities and start teasing some of our team members, because Carrie, we've got a lot of information to share about you on this episode of Nerdcast. Bob, you saw tons of movies. What was your favorite this weekend?
Wow, there was, like I said, I saw a lot of documentaries this weekend, but I think for me the best film that I saw was Doubting Thomas. It was one that was really talked about at the very beginning. What?
not you. I'm laughing because we'll make fun of Carrie regarding Doubting Thomas.
Okay, here. But yeah, no, it's a story of a couple having a baby, and when the baby arrives, it's black. And you know, when I first read the synopsis of the movie, I thought this was going to be
for the confused looks. Adam, the dad is not black.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I would guess Nora is the mom.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of them is probably.
You just have to watch the movie.
Not the two main. Yeah. I don't know. This is just going to get confusing.
But yeah, I thought it was going to be like a comedy, kind of like, was that Carbon Copy many, many years ago. But it was a dead serious drama, and it hit on everything. It just got into the race question, adoption. It was really, it was a tough film to watch, and it's good. And I have not written the review yet on that. It is one that just kind of stuck with me. And it's really, like I said, it's kind of hard to describe without giving away spoilers, because I know how much you guys love me giving away spoilers.
No, so don't give it away, especially if you're going to be recommending it to our readers
and
listeners. Don't give it away.
I will not.
But I understand the hard to think, because I've written my other two reviews. The review I have not written is Sadie, because the same thing, that the movie was so good, but it was not an easy movie. It was very
right.
And definitely my favorite was The Maestro. It's pretty much made clear by the review that went up this week. Xander Berkeley appreciated the review. He was phenomenal in there. I've talked to him a little bit about it, but David Phillips and Adam Cushman were both out there promoting the movie. Yeah. And when I saw it, I was like, World War II era, which was my focus in school in my history, was World War II. World War II era, composer escapes, you know, fastest Italy to get to the United States, to get away from all that, becomes a composer for MGM, does all this work, hardly gets credit, trains all the composers. Name a composer that you know in the movie industry. They studied under him, and it's insane. And I was, so all that excited me. And then they come in, and the way they talked about in the interview, they interviewed him like 2 hours before we went to see the movie, and was just like, wow, like these guys are excited about it, how it came together, the people that weren't even supposed to be in it that were in it. And it's like, this is incredible. Went and watched it. Always hard to watch a drama when you're at a film festival on Saturday afternoon at about 3 or 4, you know. Mm-hmm. You go, you're doing all day Friday, you go to the gala Friday night, you get up super early Saturday, get in there, get everything done, and go see a movie at about 4 o'clock on Saturday. It's tough. Yet I didn't waver at all, so felt pretty good about it. But The Pig, wow. I never expected it. It's a black comedy from Iran about a director. All the directors are getting killed by some serial killer, but this one director is not getting killed, and he's wondering why he's not getting killed, because he's supposed to be pretty famous. Also, while handling like his career and personal life falling apart. And that screening area, it wasn't a theater technically, it was Roxy's, a cabaret, but it was magnificently as a theater.
Yeah.
Was rolling, was just laughing. I don't know how many times I laughed out loud. I think my favorite part might have been towards the climax when something happened and it was just dead silent in there, and Mia just shouts Jesus, like just as loud as she could. Everybody like looked over. I was like, damn, like that, what happens? It was just insane. And it was one of those movies that you expect to be predictable. It's not predictable. It was from Iran. I did not expect the prominent women and amazing women acting in it. And the comedy and the shout out to American culture and everything, it was fantastic. I think 5 years going there, I think there has been one movie of the 40 to 50 now that I've probably seen over that time period that I have been disappointed with. Other than that, great.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this. I just thought the acting in the films this year was so much better than in previous years. There was some really amazing performances.
And we talked about it beforehand that we felt like they were doing less screenings of each movie. There felt like there was less movies overall too. So I wonder if they kind of pulled it back a little and focused on, you know, more specific ones. I don't know. I still don't know the inner workings of film festivals, like how much they cover, how much the filmmakers cover, travel, like all that stuff. So I don't know if that influences by doing a little less. That was more, I would agree with you.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, because before each movie, they had one of their programmers who helped choose the films for the film festival, they get up and they talk a little bit about the film and they thank people and stuff like that. I went to one and this woman said that she probably watched the fewest movies of any of the programmers, and she watched 80 films.
Yeah, they still get tons of submissions, they right?
And I think there's like maybe 20 programmers. So you're looking at thousands of movies that they're watching to fit in this weekend film in this film festival. And yeah, I mean, it did seem like there's less films this year, but boy, the quality was definitely there. It was definitely there.
For sure. I think a lot of people overlook it, and it flew under our radar initially too. It's in Wichita, so people don't think about it as like Tribeca over New York or anything in California, but countless of film-related magazines and websites and industry experts and stuff constantly list Tallgrass as one of the best film festivals.
It's one of the top 10 film festivals, yeah. Exactly.
And and filmmakers, like we said, I have not seen a filmmaker just not praise it and not want to go back. Some go back without even another movie just to do workshops just so they can go back. And yeah. It is, everything about it's fantastic.
Now, I do have some of the awards that they announced on Sunday night. We were both not there. Outstanding First Feature went to Doubting Thomas. Best Actor went to Xander Berkeley for Maestro. Best Actress went to Condola Rashad for Bikini Moon, who was incredible. That was an incredible performance. Outstanding Ensemble Cast went to Bitter Melon. And I think you interviewed.
HP. He was a blast, for sure. Yeah.
And Outstanding Female Filmmaker went to Sadie. Audience Awards, Narrative Film went to The Maestro. Documentary went to Far From the Tree. And then they had some other awards for their short subjects. And some of those short ones were pretty impressive on their own.
Yeah, I saw, of the three movies I saw, only one of them had a short before it, and it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was Before the Pig, and it was hilarious. But yeah, there's some great stuff, and the movies we talked about, obviously we weren't alone in that because the audiences were picking on those two. But Adam, I think you'd love Bitter Melon from H.P. Mendoza. It's a dark comedy about a family who gets together at Christmas and realizes their brother is abusing his wife, and so they figure out a way to murder him. I was like, but the best part about it is when I was talking about movies and he was talking about it, he used to be more whimsical and he's kind of toned it down a bit, but his older stuff, and he has like a horror musical too, like from his older stuff, and it's like super whimsical, and he's talking about copying like camera angles and activity from The Evil Dead and some of the stuff he was explaining. I was like, have you ever seen Eating Raoul? And he's like, exactly. Like, that's what I was shooting for. I was like, oh man, this stuff sounds amazing. And when he had me at like dark comedy horror musical for the one of them with that whimsical style, I'm like, I've got to see this. But yeah, his Bitter Melon, it's toned down a bit. He said he's found himself more. Unfortunately, I did not see it, but it did get very high praise as well.
Mm-hmm. You guys need to come next time.
You need to get there.
I mean, I'm going to try, Bob. You know,
life happens.
We talked. We said that at the beginning of the episode. Life happens.
Yeah,
got a new job, building up time off.
So the fun stuff about the festival, before we get into all the other things going on this week, is to give some of our team members a hard time. Mia has done a lot of stuff with us, I think, over probably past 12 to 14 months now, actually. Never a film festival, so this was new to her, and she is an actress model also, so a lot of stuff she was excited for there. Carrie has started recording the I'm Not Famous podcast with us, but has done no events, and it got brought up to him. He was super excited to go. Like, he told me, like, thank you, like, a million times. I'm like, no, thank you for going out there to help. Like, I don't get it. So he gets there. He gets blown away. He falls in love with Will McFadden, the guy who made Doubting Thomas, and was hilarious about it afterwards, and to the point where we even did a photo booth shoot at one of the galas with Will while Carrie wasn't there, so we could bring him the pictures to give him a hard time. And Will was totally on board for it. He got excited about it too, because he was like, where's Carrie? And we're like, well, that's the point. We want to take these pictures. He goes, oh, okay, I'm in. He's like, I'm in. So From that gala, though, I think we have video of him just jamming to Mariah Carey on the way back to the hotel for the karaoke. And then the karaoke, wow, he was just the life of the party. He said he wanted it to seem like it was Project Nerd putting on the karaoke. And I think most people probably felt that way by the end of it.
Probably. Like I said, that guy has more energy than I've seen in anybody.
I don't know how. He's working crazy hours at work right now. And then he went, I mean, we were karaoke until 3, and then we had breakfast, and then we were up early Sunday, and we drove in on Friday till 4 a.m. Like, it was just, there was no sleep that weekend, and he was still nonstop.
And, you know, when we went to the gala on Saturday night, I mean, us four were just kind of sitting at a table. He was out networking and meeting people and stuff like that. It was just like, I think at one point I said, I think you might want to check on him. I'm not sure what he's saying, but I think you need to check him out. And he was talking to some pretty impressive people. I mean, I guess he was talking to the owner of the Orpheum. I mean, it was pretty fun to watch him.
He was putting Project Nerd's name everywhere, that's for sure. Which we typically have a great presence at Tallgrass. People, you know, we see him in the interview, so we see him afterwards and have great times and have made phenomenal long-term friendships with some of these filmmakers. And some of these volunteers we've mentioned by names even that are there year in and year out. And yeah, he was just spreading that word even farther. He was the whole weekend. Jeff's like, you've been looking for a PR manager. Here's your guy right here. This guy has not stopped the entire weekend plugging the name. So it was great. It was a great time. I know at one point Mia grabbed me like by the face and was like, you better promise to bring me to all of these festivals. I was like, if you want to go, like, so yeah, the newcomers, I know the Sexy Nerd Science team came and they seem to love it as well, which is a great experience. I love doing it. We're going to cover Denver Film Festival over the next few weeks. Very different style, you know, daily screenings, daily, you know, some of the premieres have big parties and it goes on for 3 weeks. So very different approach here. We've already done some news releases about some awards that have happened there, including Jason Reitman getting an award, or will be presented an award there, excuse me. So he'll be in town. Karan is going to be in town premiering his new movie. Some great people. So hopefully, depending on when showings are and what's going on, we are limited on passes because we jumped on board on this one late. Thank you, Facebook, actually, because it was when we started talking about Tallgrass that all of a sudden Denver Film Festival ads just were in my face nonstop, right? But we'll get some coverage out of it for sure. So keep an eye on those things and keep an eye on those, like we said, about 13 to 14 reviews and, of course, about 15, 16 interviews. And then what I think was one of the funniest I'm Not Famous episodes we've recorded to date. If from those of you that have seen the pictures of Mia and Carrie, like laughing hysterically, like it was a great episode. It was a great episode. All right. But we're excluding Tyler and Adam here.
Wow.
So we better move on to other things.
You guys keep going. We'll just hang out. It's fun.
Hang out. I mean, you guys like hearing the stories. Some of the stories are pretty funny. So, but we do have a lot of other things to talk about. One of those is the new Halloween movie premiered this past weekend. Adam, what'd you think?
Man, it was good. I really enjoyed it. So actually, I haven't read any reviews.
It's getting praise.
Yeah, it's the only one I've really seen was just a headline that said it's the best Halloween since Halloween. And
I've seen that said numerous times, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a terrifically high bar. I enjoyed the Rob Zombie.
What? You mean H2O wasn't that great?
No. Oh, man, H2O was bad. And bad, even though it had Busta Rhymes in it. And that's hard for me to say because I enjoy Busta Rhymes.
Did anybody break their fucking necks? That's the question during that movie.
Okay. No way. I got to jump on that one. It wasn't Busta Rhymes. He was in Resurrection. It was LL Cool J who was in H2O.
That's right. Because doesn't LL Cool J he survives at the end, right? LL Cool J does?
Yeah, somehow he does.
He's isn't he like the chef or something?
No, that's
Deep Blue Sea. No, he's also, like the, but that involves water in H2O. I can see your confusion.
I don't know if LL Cool J just somehow in his contracts got the, I'm not going to fall into the stereotypical black guy in these horror movies. I'm going to survive, not be the first one to die, because he seems to survive most of them.
No, he's a security guard in H2O.
Okay, that's right.
Which normally they're like the first to go.
It's funny you say that. I don't normally like to give movie reviewers a hard time, but one of the movie reviewers at AV Club, A.A. Dowd, who is well known for disliking any number of movies, I was very concerned because it was like, because I go Davy Club a lot, it was one of the first like review headlines that popped up in my feed the weekend the movie came out. And his headline was, "The new Halloween isn't just a pale imitation of the original, it's an inferior H2O. And I was like, whoa, that's a bold move. Then I realized it was by A.A. Dowd, take it with a grain of salt. And then I read every other review and I was like, oh, it was just him. Everyone else thought this was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was really, really good. I enjoyed it. Love Jamie Lee Curtis back as Laurie Strode. I love that they basically are just like, so we know we've been making Halloween movies for 40 years now. We're not talking about any of the others. Only things that have actually happened back in 1978. And we're just moving on. Nothing to see for the last 40 years. And here's another movie. And you're like, okay, cool. That it worked out really, really well. I thought it was quite good. Went with my wife. She really enjoyed it.
Holy shit, 1978's been 40 years? Wow.
Like, yeah, dude.
We're getting old, guys.
That's how that works.
Yeah, we're real old, guys.
Look at Bob.
I 1978's not that far from my birth year. And I was thinking, when you're like 40, like, you mean like, no, wait, what? I was, anyways, go on while I sit here in this.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Bob, you were talking about maybe going to see it. Did you get to see it this weekend?
Like, I had a chance. No, I didn't. I was thinking about going tonight at 6, but I'm still recovering from the weekend, so I'm going to go see it tomorrow. But yeah, it did like $76 million. Everybody saw this movie this weekend.
It was a big, so we went at, I never do this. We went at Friday at 7:30.
Holy crap.
In the big theater here in town.
Did you sit up in the corner or did you get there early enough?
Well, this one's got reserve seats. So I was like, oh, this will be okay. But I log in to buy my reserve seats and it's 90% full already. And I'm like, good God. Now I remember why I don't do this 7 o'clock on Friday nights. Ours was packed. The one before us, I saw it leave. It was packed. The folks waiting to get into our theater as we were leaving, it was packed. Lots of people seeing it. I think that's the second largest opening for an October movie behind Venom.
Bob, what numbers did we have this weekend from it?
It did $76 million. And yeah, like Adam said, it is the number two opening for October. This October is like the number one October ever.
Well, yeah, you have the number one and number two all time in the same month, the same year. So
yeah. Yeah. And second, I knew Star is Born was going to have legs, and it only dropped like 30% from last week.
It is getting
Have you seen Bradley Cooper in shorts? Does it have legs?
Speaking of legs, no. It is getting so much love still and so much praise. I think the more and more we see this positive, the more and more we better start thinking about this as one of those movies to be talked about in those Academy categories, because it not only does it have legs, like I said, the further we go, the more I'm expecting somebody to say, like, somebody's got to say something negative somewhere, right? And and just like how we're talking about the Halloween reviews, A Star is Born is just being universally praised and loved. And even this weekend at Tallgrass Film Festival, the independent filmmakers and some of the volunteers were talking about it and how impressive it was and stuff. So,
yeah. I feel like the only negative thing I've heard about it was like more a tongue-in-cheek negative thing about one of the songs in the movies. That was more of kind of a joke because there's like the one like poppy song that's in it that's supposed to be this big break for her, like blah, blah, blah. And everything else has been nothing but positive for both. I mean, Cooper's getting obscene amounts of praise as someone who has gotten a ton of praise in the past as a really good actor, a guy who, you know, is successful and in big movies and, you know, attractive and a cool dude, but also like is respected for his craft. Like, he's getting heaped praise on. And then Lady Gaga, who up to this point has basically done, you know, a season of American Horror Story, and I think that's about it. Like, I'm impressed. Like, I expected it to do well, but this is a lot better than I thought it would do.
Yeah. I said before, I think people are going to start to look at Lady Gaga a lot differently. I think they're going to have to take her more seriously instead of just being kind of a poppy techno dance singer. The woman's got pipes. She, like I said, the music in that show really blew me away. And I really think Bradley Cooper could get 5 Oscar nominations this year. Producer, director, writer, actor, and songwriter.
Possibly. I mean, it'll definitely have it at least an original song nominee. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't see them both not being nominated in the acting categories. And with it being the wider field, it's one of those ones that I think we pretty much knew even from the beginning. This was most likely at least a consideration for Best Picture. But again, with what we're talking about now, these few weeks in and the praise, I think it's one. And we need to see what happens at the other award shows, because it's something that we might be talking about early next year about being a possible winner.
Yeah.
I will say that anyone who prior to this didn't understand that Gaga has pipes did not watch the Oscars in what, 2015?
Yeah.
Where she did the Julie Andrews tribute. It was at least 2-3 years ago. Yeah. And she just brought the house down.
There was that
Tony Bennett.
That was
the Tony Bennett thing. Yeah.
I mean, she crushed that. And then there's the
halftime show.
There's a track also floating around where they just pulled out all of, like, it's just her vocals. There's no music with it or anything like that. And man, she's very, very good. Very, very talented. Holy cow.
She is for sure. For sure. In other movies news though, speaking of reviews, something, I don't know if we thought it was going to be reviewed highly or not, but early Bohemian Rhapsody reviews are starting to hit as it's starting to get its screenings out there. And seen a couple good reviews, but most of them not very favorable. Most of them thinking that it's not great. Getting a lot of praising for acting, but not much more than that.
Yeah, I've read one where they actually... the person saw Bohemian Rhapsody after they saw Star is Born, and they said, yeah, it's not even in, you know, comparison. It's no good. But yeah, the acting is getting good praise.
Which, his name's escaping me right now.
Yeah.
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek. Yeah.
Thank you.
Rami was the first. Okay. So yeah, Malek is, he's been impressive to this point in the roles he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he has the look down for sure in what we've seen from the trailer. So yeah, he, like I said, he is getting praise, so maybe he might be considered for awards. But yeah, I'm not hearing a lot of good things about anything else.
And there was, and I think there was rumblings about this, like, this has been a very tortured production process.
Well, because he wasn't even the first.
Yeah, there's been multiple versions of the script, and then a lot of people stepped out because they didn't like the story that the surviving members of Queen, like May and them, wanted to tell. And I'm not super surprised that this is the way that it's.
Yeah, this is.
Because I think the biggest thing is most people who were originally involved with the project or who got the project off the ground wanted to basically make a Freddie Mercury biopic. And the surviving members of Queen wanted to make a movie about Queen and continue to go on and be about Queen after Freddie Mercury died. And I love Queen as much as the next guy. Ain't nobody wants to see that movie. Everyone wants to see the Freddie Mercury movie. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is the film Bryan Singer was actually fired from. He got fired from doing this film. It was like halfway or 2/3 of the way through, and he got fired from it. And also, the original Freddie Mercury was actually cast. It was Sacha Baron Cohen was the original choice for it.
Which I would have loved that, too.
Oh, man, that would have been crazy.
For sure. But so mixed things there. For sake of time, running through a couple of these other movie news. Wonder Woman, so big news this past weekend, pushed to 2020, and which was odd because we hadn't heard any rumblings about production. We hadn't heard anything like that. I don't know if it's maybe, you know, the slate's getting crowded for 20, because it is going to be a busy 2019 again. But it got pushed back. And it seemed like we've seen, like, how many months ago was that when we saw our first pictures of it?
I can't imagine Wonder Woman was they were afraid of Wonder Woman going up against just about anything. I mean, that movie's going to make all the money. I think they're trying to figure out how they're going to shoehorn Steve Trevor back in. Like, they just did it, and they didn't think about how they're going to get him back. And they're like, crap, we killed him last time, didn't we? Damn it.
They were like, they were in the meeting in the executive room, and they're like, all right, well, let's talk about the Steve Trevor issue. Well, what's it? We killed him off in the last movie. Yeah, he signed a 3-movie contract. About that.
Or maybe less that. It's like, so we have to find a way to get Chris Pine back in this. No, we killed him. We're done with him. Yeah, but we just canned both Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck. We're going to need some some good looking dudes around here. Jason Momoa can't carry it alone. So you guys get out there. I'm very curious to, I mean, I'm sure more will come out this in the trades here in the next few days. I'm super curious to see what the reasoning behind this is. This just overall just things going on at W. I mean, obviously things are going on at Warner Brothers with between, you know, there's always something going on at Warner Brothers, but between kicking Cavill and Affleck to the curb or them leaving, depending on whose story you listen to. I'm wondering if this is more like we're going to push this back to try and regroup and figure out what we're doing going forward because we fired half the Justice League, or, you know, what's going on. But I don't know. I'm curious because this is like the one like sure thing they've got in the can. I mean, or not even, I don't know where it's at in production, but this is like the one sure thing they have in production. There's nothing else in the upcoming Warner Brothers DC slate that's even like you could even hope that might do okay. Like, I mean, obviously they're like Aquaman's going to make money. Like all these movies are going to make money, but this is the one they know was like, regardless of what else happened, like people were going to show up to see it. Even people who wouldn't normally go see a Warner Brothers DC movie and you push it back a year. I'm curious. There's gotta be something going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And there wasn't too much information about it. And it almost felt like they tried to sneak that information out too.
Oh yeah. It was definitely not.
By the way, guys, Wonder Woman's coming out in 2020.
Especially after they just went to all the trouble of announcing like their slate for the next like two decades between all the DC direct stuff and then all the movies. It's like they're announcing all these projects. And then in the meantime, like the one property they have that's like gold, that's not, doesn't have some like baggage it's dragging along with it. They're like, oh, by the way, the one movie we knew we're actually going to make money and like help our bottom line, we're not going to release that for another like year or two. But good news is we have three more Joker movies in production right now.
I wonder if it's a combination of we're going to write in a scene that removes Batman and Superman. Like, are they finding a way to like,
but even
crowbar them right on out.
That's not a year's worth of post-production,
right? Though. Exactly. Regular production takes the time account for reshoot, I mean, right?
Right. I mean, but if you're
Joss Whedon came in and like reshot half of Justice League in like 3 months.
Right. But if you're doing that and you know, if you're doing that, you're missing out on whatever the Batman movie was going to be called, I guess the Batman, you're missing out on Man of Steel 2. Like, when were those supposed to come out? Do we need to push Wonder Woman back to backfill those slots for a couple of years, or is it going to be?
You fill those slots,
but now you got to backfill Wonder Woman. Like, you had this sure thing on the schedule, and now you don't anymore.
It's still there. It's just a little farther back.
Yeah, it's still going to make money, but
don't make me defend Warner Brothers.
Listen, maybe I don't know. Maybe they already have lost faith in it, which I think is strange at this stage, but you know, guess what? When
they push the shoehorning of Steve Trevor in there is apparently much worse than we're all expecting.
I think more it's the fact of like when, you know, DC movies at Warner Brothers eventually goes under, this one movie will get bought by a better studio and we'll get to still see it and it'll be fun.
Anyways, it is delayed, and like we said, they kind of snuck it under the radar. But with superhero movies continuing, Avengers 4, everybody is searching for every clue and trying to figure out every little thing. But some photos did get released. So minor spoilers ahead. Thanos has been photographed with a sword, which for those that are familiar with the Infinity Gauntlet comic series, the Infinity Sword soon follows now that the gauntlet is destroyed. So it looks like it's going to be following more closely comics. Another big thing that has come out, I just saw today actually, was this is actually official, is that it's going to open up 5 years after the first one, which to me, I don't think is a big spoiler, a big deal, because the whole thing, I think we've already been led to be known that it's going to deal with, you know, time travel and all that type of stuff. So I think time is irrelevant when it comes down to it, to be honest.
Time's always relative, Iggy. It might be irrelevant, but it's always relative.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you know where time doesn't matter is at the quantum level. Like it,
and there's all the rules
stop making sense. I think the most exciting one, and because they've kind of teased it for a minute at number three and then never mentioned it again, but there is a selfie or a picture out there floating around of Gwyneth Paltrow in the rescue armor, which looks real cool.
Yeah, which I think the initial photo came out far even before Infinity War came out. And now we've seen an actual photo with the, I think the original photo was her in a green suit, which made people believe that she's going to be a rescue. But yeah, I think that one's been kind of going there for a while. And obviously the few other rumors of, I forget her character name, but Ant-Man's daughter that comes into play is a possibility here. They've cast an older version of her, you know, Warlock. We're still trying to figure out where he comes in, Adam Warlock. So things like that. So a lot to figure out there. One thing we don't have to figure out, I got great news for you guys. Great, great news. No more Pirates of the Caribbean sequels. It's done. It's done. Oh. No more sequels. However,
Disney
is prepping the reboot. Disney is prepping the reboot already, the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Yeah, I know. I'm getting a little...
Say, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, how many have we had? Six, seven? Five?
Six.
They didn't
five.
I think there's six. There's.
I think they finished the second trilogy. Yeah, I think they finished the second.
Pearl.
Yeah.
Deadman's Chest.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Deadman Tell Motels.
At
World's End.
At World's End.
Oh, that's right.
Stranger Tides. Deadman Tell No Tales.
All right, so five.
There's only five. I just confirmed, and actually some of the headlines what about the reboot.
You just confirmed. I just confirmed.
You said... But I'm backing up your statement with a Google search. And the Google
I'm going to need you to restart that all with, hey, guys, Adam was right. And then
Adam,
you won.
Hey, guys, Adam was right. There was only five. Deadpool 6. Pirates of the Caribbean 6 is going to be a reboot with Deadpool scribes. Rhett Reese and who's the other one? Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. So Deadpool writers taking over a new Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Are they bringing Ryan Reynolds?
I have a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. First one is where does Johnny Depp fit into this? Johnny Depp has made so much freaking money off this franchise. He's not just going to be pushed out.
He's going to be an executive producer.
He's 100% going to push Richards. Going the way of Keith Richards.
I would be surprised if he's a cameo or something, or as a producer or something, but Johnny Depp's stars has not been in the same spot for quite some time in Hollywood. This isn't like some podunk. This is Disney. If they want to push out Johnny Depp, they can push out Johnny Depp.
I think after the last movie that lost so much money.
Yeah, but I have a lot of questions, but the two biggest ones are, number one, like, obviously I think we were all, as great as that character is, had gotten a little bit like wary of Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow. At the same time, is anyone going to go see a Pirates movie that doesn't have Jack Sparrow in it? Like, no. What's the point?
I'm not wary of Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. I'm wary as Jack Sparrow showing up in every Johnny Depp movie. That's right. I'm wary.
Hold on. Let's address that question first, because that's a great question. Because coincidentally, before this news, the past couple weeks, I've had a few conversations about Pirates of the Caribbean and talking about Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow. Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow is great. It's just that we got so much of him that the world has all of a sudden decided we hate it. Yeah. But to be honest, he's really pretty good at it.
And he's fantastic.
Done with it. Yeah. And he's done he still is very charitable with it, still shows up to kids' hospitals, everything about it. He's made shit tons of money because they've had to have that character in it. It's just he's been crammed down our throats. But that is a great question, because
there's been better versions and worse versions of him. Like there's some of those movies where they just don't do much with Captain Sparrow, or they do some weird stuff with it. And it's just like, eh, it is way too much. Like, it's a great character that got just drove into the ground.
Yeah.
But like, what the hell else is there in that series? Like, Barbossa's okay. Like, he's cool. I mean, Jeffrey Rush is amazing. He weaves in and out. You get a little Bill Nye with it, but there's nothing else in those movies. Like there's nothing else there.
I guess maybe you just have to tell a completely different story, right?
Well,
can't recast Jack Sparrow.
It's not going to be about Jack Sparrow. So it's just like, we're making another pirate movie. We're going to make a brand new movie about pirates, but we're just going to call it this for name and brand recognition and people come. Like, I can't imagine they stay in the same world or stay in the same mythology. I think they just have to be like, yeah, we're making more pirate movies, but they're not about those pirates.
It's the distinguished gentleman of movies. They're just getting that name recognition and not doing anything else.
Yeah.
All right. What was the second question?
Yeah. What was it?
That's it. Like, that's the second question is like, so is this the same world? Is this a new world? Is there a new Jack Sparrow? Or is this just like, fuck it, we're making new pirate movies and we're just going to call them this because it's easier than coming up with a new name.
They're just going to go get Skeet Ulrich and do, and do Jack, heck, come up with some other bird name, Jack Siegel. That's fine.
Heck with it. We can go to any Comic Con and find a Jack Sparrow just as good as Johnny Depp.
Woo! Those are big words there. Those are big words.
I saw some pretty damn good ones.
Get the makeup down. I mean, you're talking how many years later people have been able to master that, and they can try to mimic his behaviors. But
I've seen a few that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little bit more to it than like waltzing around with that walk and saying "Where's the rum?" and "Savvy" over and over again, which is, in my experience, is what most of them do.
Yeah,
there's not much more to life than asking where the rum is, but there is a little bit more. I don't know. So interesting enough, yes, hit you guys with the great news there of no more sequels, but then disappointed you with the reboot. But we talked a lot about movies. Also trailers, all this, you know, there's been tons of stuff because it has been 3 weeks. So I know we've also missed a lot. So definitely head on over to projectnerd.com or wherever you listen to this podcast and let us know in the comments what you also want to talk about movie wise. We'll definitely give you some feedback, especially if you hit us on our social media. But heading over to television, I don't even know what to say. So obviously at this point now we have Daredevil season 3. I obviously haven't had a chance to get it because the same with Bob, we've been at the movie festival. But even bigger news out of Marvel Netflix, Iron Fist got canceled after 2 seasons, which we kind of saw coming. I was 4 or 5 episodes in, and I was like, when that happened, and I was like, I'm really enjoying this second season. It's actually really good. Now that I'm about 9 or 10 episodes in, I don't know how I feel about it anymore. But even bigger was Luke Cage got canceled after 2 seasons. And Luke Cage has been fantastic. So I don't know, is this setting up a Heroes for Hire? Is this happening? I think if we hear Daredevil getting canceled after this, then we can assume the news that it's going to end up, those shows are going to end up over on the Disney streaming service, I think wouldn't be a surprise. Right now, I assumed they were going to Disney. I had talked about it with people and made that assumption. When they were getting ready for new seasons, I looked into it, and there hasn't been really any hard evidence to the public that says one way or the other. Netflix chief content officer has made the single statement saying, we decide how many more seasons are in these. Pretty bold statement. I would assume he might have contracts to back that up, or he might just be saying it to keep people interested in Netflix. Who knows?
You know? Well, and Disney's come out and said that their Netflix is to make or cancel for as long as they want. Like, those shows belong to Netflix, which is all the more surprising.
Well, then why are we canceling them?
That's the thing. I don't know if they're canceling it to because they, I mean, that's the big difference, I think, is when they canceled Iron Fist, like, their statement specifically said, hey, thanks for everything. You know, Iron Fist, like, the immortal Iron Fist will live on or whatever. So, like, they had plans for him going forward. But then the Luke Cage one came out of nowhere, and that statement didn't say anything about it.
So do we get Heroes for Hire here?
See, that's the thing. I would think as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's what's happening. But they have said nothing. And all of the people involved with both these shows seemed surprised by this turn of events.
Yes, yeah, like, especially the Luke Cage one. The cast and crew did not expect this, for sure.
Is there a second season of Defenders still out there?
No, that was never. Or, well, I don't say it was never, but after the lack of love for the first one, they called it a limited series.
I know the first one was not well received, and I'm wondering if that's what they're doing, is they're breaking up the individual seasons to build to the Defender seasons and just being like, we're done with that, and here's your Daredevil and Punisher, and then we're going to go Heroes for Hire.
At the same time, like, Netflix, for the first time, and as long as I can remember, like, there's been a few little ones here and there that were just total busts, but Netflix has finally started canceling stuff, which is good on Netflix. Like, it was about time. Like, you needed to stop. There was a lot of shows that they continue to make.
Well, because in that, Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black, and obviously House of Cards and stuff like that.
Well, House of Cards was because of...
Yes, but at the same time, like, it was... I would not have been surprised if they'd continued to make the show without him.
Which, like, they are doing this last season without him, so that's fair.
So, like Netflix is just, will run these things into the ground. So I'm excited for them to finally start canceling stuff. But all this Marvel stuff seems super strange. Cause the question is like, do they get to hold on to the rights to those characters, even if they're not actively making shows about them? Like, does them canceling the shows cause anything? Cause Disney and Netflix have been very clear. Like, these shows are ours to do with as we will, but when you're just going to cancel them all, then what happens?
I don't know. But I mean, we talk, you know, Adam, you're bringing up the possibility for more Defenders and stuff, but Iron Fist and Luke Cage on their own can stand. It's huge in the comics. The two of them together, Heroes for Hires, that Immortal Iron Fist with Power Man, all those, it's been frequent to see those two together. And we got a little, you know, cameo of Iron Fist in Luke Cage season two. I felt it was good. I enjoyed that part. It didn't get much action or anything really with them, but it's still, I felt like the new Iron Fist, the newer stuff, he has acted much better. He's definitely been much better as the character and had a good dynamic in that Luke Cage season two cameo. So I don't know. It is definitely weird. And with us already spending so much time on everything else, we don't have a lot of time to spend on it, but a lot of questions to be answered, I guess is the way to put it right now. But sticking with Netflix, exciting. You're getting a stop animated Pinocchio, courtesy of Guillermo del Toro, guys. That's right.
That's going to be the stuff of nightmares.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so awesome.
It is going to be horrifically fantastic for sure. But we're talking del Toro. We're talking, you know, creepy cryptic tales, probably version of Pinocchio. And we're talking stop animation. Like, each. Yeah, you know, eat your heart out, Tim Burton. This is gonna go to a whole new level. This is gonna be interesting for sure. All right, no further comments on it. Okay. Moving on. I guess we can head into the video game world before we start wrapping up with final thoughts. Or actually, let's wrap it up with TV. The new Doctor has premiered. So we do have our newest Doctor, our 13th Doctor. And are we still calling it our 13th Doctor after the whole John Hurt thing? Like, I don't.
That was the War Doctor. That's a whole different thing.
Don't okay. I'm just, right. I mean, but it's technically another, I don't know. No, anyways.
She is the 13th Doctor. The War Doctor is this whole other thing.
All right. Fine. So she is the 13th Doctor. Exactly. I think we're now, what, two, maybe three episodes in? Have you guys seen it?
I've only seen the first one, but.
Enough for us to get an opinion from you.
I think she's awesome. I was excited. I really like Jodie Whittaker a lot already, like prior to this, like anything Jodie Whittaker's done, like Broadchurch, all that kind of stuff, huge fan. So I was excited and she was good so far. I've heard that it gets even crazier like the next couple episodes. So then this one, she's still trying to feel it out. Like her, like the Doctor is still trying to remember who the Doctor is anytime after one of these regenerations. I'm curious to see what kind of Doctor she is. Cause I will be honest. I have been someone who, after watching it super religiously through 9 and 10, kind of fell off during 11, then kind of came back a little bit during 12, and then kind of left again. Like, this is the first new episode of Doctor Who I've watched in a really long time, and I really enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot, and I think this will be an interesting place for the show to go. Like, we've had, every Doctor's a little bit different, but I'm curious to see, you know, what Jodie can bring to the role, because I'm excited to see it. And new companions seem cool, so I'm on board. I'm ready to. I'm going to try to watch this series like I have not done since maybe David Tennant was on the show, and see what happens.
For sure, I still think I have two Capaldi seasons to catch up on, so I've got a little bit of a ways to go. It used to be much easier to stick up with, and then it's like, oh, now it's on this streaming service. No, now this season's over. I don't even know. I lost track. But anyways, that's it for TV. Really quick on some video game news. Numbers did come out last month. Marvel's Spider-Man, reportedly the largest opening month release for a video game for a Sony or a PlayStation exclusive, even beating God of War, which had previously set the mark earlier this same calendar year. But not surprised at all that I think I'm the only person that doesn't own that game yet. And I've still been intending to get it, but Bob, I'm pretty sure Bob even bought it, right? Yeah. Yeah. So definitely it's out there.
I don't have it. I will get it.
But right. I don't have it either.
I'm not going to have time.
Wait, Adam doesn't have
it? Dude, Assassin's Creed. I mean, maybe we haven't. I feel like we've talked about this game before.
Go on.
I'm still playing Assassin's Creed, and I've been looking forward to that. I enjoy the Assassin's Creed games tremendously. And Odyssey has been absolutely fantastic. So it's kept me from buying Spider-Man, which I do want to buy. And it'll probably keep me from buying Red Dead Redemption 2, which I know might be heresy as well.
Wow.
Wait, say that again?
I said it will probably keep me from buying Red Dead Redemption 2 for a while, too.
That's silly.
I don't know.
I still haven't bought Spider-Man. I haven't bought Spider-Man. I probably won't get Red Dead this weekend because I have so many other things going on, but I need both those things in my life.
I mean, well, Red Dead brought up...
I was going to say that's the other video games. It is a Red Dead weekend with Red Dead Redemption dropping.
And if you have pre-ordered Fallout 76 beta starts in like a week and a half, so I need that in my life as well. So there's a lot going on.
I'm going to need to hit one of these huge giant lottos so I can just sit home and play video games. No, so Red Dead did bring me some joy this past weekend. As reports came out that the story will be 60 hours of gameplay for Red Dead 2, which is pretty good, but it then spawned a absolutely fantastic meme with Matthew McConaughey from Wolf of Wall Street. Said, story mode 60 hours long. Those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those numbers up. I was like, okay, there you go. But if the story is 60 hours, you know you probably have at least that in side quests. So that's a lot of Western to play.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, what, two discs?
That's so ridiculous because a dual-layered Blu-ray disc is 50 gigabytes of data. Good God.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a $40 or $50 gigabyte download for day one anyway, on top of what's on the disc. So Jesus,
I'm going to erase half the crap that I have on my PS4 just to load it up.
Bob, invest in an external hard drive, you weirdo.
Oh.
Or put in a new hard drive into your PlayStation. You
hey,
all sorts of options.
Go buy Spider-Man.
Yeah,
maybe I will.
Don't give me any crap about that. At least I have Spider-Man.
All right, so that is, I would say that is it, but as I've mentioned a couple times now, there is tons and tons that we haven't gotten to. As we roll, we get past events for the year. We do still have Rocky Mountain Con in a couple weeks, but very small. Past events in the holiday season, we'll be focusing a lot more on this production content. So again, more consistency from the Nerdcast, more consistency from Sexy Nerd Science. I'm Not Famous will be here, plus a number of other amazing things dropping and being announced soon. But let's not get into that. Let's get into some final thoughts. Bob, why don't you get us started, sir?
Hey, it's Halloween next week. Looking for my good scary movies to watch. And of course, I'm going to go see Halloween tomorrow on Wednesday. But I picked up one of my favorite horror movies. I remember as a kid when they used to have movies of the week. It was called Trilogy of Terror. It was with Karen Black. And it has probably one of my all-time favorite little scary story about a little voodoo doll that goes attacking people. And so find your favorite scary movie. Enjoy it this weekend because Halloween is next week.
Hocus Pocus, bitches.
Karen Black? She in...
Karen Black, yeah.
The Starman?
That's Karen Allen.
Oh, okay. Not thinking of the right person.
Only off by one initial. All right, Tyler.
In a decade or two.
Tyler, sir.
Not a lot going on right now. I've been busy with work. Two things that I'm excited about is young Mr. Patrick Mahomes and my Kansas City Chiefs just keep killing it.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Be going to the game this weekend against the Broncos. And then next weekend, we'll probably talk about this next week, but next weekend is the annual BlizzCon, which none of us will be at, unfortunately. I tried to get tickets this year.
We do have representation there.
Crazy hard to get, but BlizzCon this next weekend, and a lot of stuff could be announced. They've said there's going to be some Diablo announcements, but they've definitely tried to play down expectations is probably not Diablo 4. So other than
Diablo Blizzard, 3 for Switch, that was best.
Other than Diablo coming to Switch, I don't know what else it could be, but we'll see. Also, they're going to need, hopefully, going to have to talk a lot about WoW because WoW's in not an awesome place now a couple months after launch. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to see what happens.
We do have press representation at BlizzCon next weekend. So if you see those blue shirts in the camera, show us your fancy costumes. We'll get you up on the site. And we should have one of the first exclusive galleries of Project Ebonblade, including some big name cosplayers in that and a huge group build. So pretty awesome there. Adam, final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm still playing a bunch of video games. Also reading a ton. I've burned through all of the full novels in the new Star Wars universe. Really very good. And I'm decided to pick up a Legend series. I'm reading the Darth Bane trilogy and enjoying it very much so far. I'll probably finish those books by the end of this week, and I'm going to need more stuff to read. I don't know. Just reading a ton, which I know is weird, and playing a ton of video games. Guys, go play Assassin's Creed and learn about ancient Greece. It's fantastic.
Spider-Man.
All right. For me, I am beyond excited to announce that the Flat Earthers International Conference, November 15th and 16th, will take place here in Denver, Colorado. And I cannot tell you how excited I am. We are trying to acquire press passes. If we can't, if I had the money, I'm almost considering the $200 pass for the weekend just to go.
Is this like the real Flat Earth Society that was started as a joke against other things, or is this people who actually believe in?
This is people who actually believe.
This isn't the actual, because there's like the real Flat Earth Society that was like more started as
This satire. Is Flat Earthers International. This is actual. There will be vendors there that have Flat Earth merchandise. There are professional scholars there talking about how the Earth is flat. And
you didn't air quote that.
No, this there's really going to be these
people. No, but you don't give me that. Scholars. Listen, give me that. Don't give me that bullshit.
Oh, scholars. Oh, excuse me. Scholars. Is that better?
There we go.
Okay. For me, what I would love to do, my perfect case scenario for covering this event would be for any of the people that would like to go in the Project Nerd group is that we all would have to throw in $25 into a group pot at the beginning. And the last one not to laugh in somebody's face, out of theory, wins the prize. However, I honestly, all joking aside, all like putting it in somebody's face, if they're listening, if they do give us press, I would actually love to come out. I am fascinated with this theory because I do not understand how this can actually be a real theory at this point. So I would love to go in there with a camera in almost documentary style and try to learn more about it, like professionally and not being a jerk.
That way lies madness, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not like some fringe belief that you get to like, let's try to figure out what, no, these people, like, there's no.
Adam, I just want to release the video of the last like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
No, this is, it fascinates me. It fascinates me that this is even a possible belief.
Yeah, but you don't, like, that's not, there's nothing, no good comes of that. Like, there's nothing, that's like going to the society of people who believe that, I don't even know.
There's
like,
no comparison. You can't
compare to anything. That's what I'm saying. Like, don't even engage.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, this theory, okay, it's kind of a dumb theory, but I can see where there's not really, you can have a theory there. Same with this one, same with this one. With the Earth being flat, it's like, what? Like, that's, I don't even.
Here's the thing. No, don't even, like, give it any sort of player credence, because nothing, all you're going to do is, like, get more dumbass people to get involved with it. Like, it's just, I can't. There are conspiracy theories that make me physically angry. Like, I will punch someone who says we didn't land on the moon, but I can at least see how someone got to that spot. Like, it's not rational. It doesn't make any sense. And like, all evidence to the contrary, but like most conspiracy theories, like the more rational evidence you have, the more like this one doesn't even have that. Like, this doesn't have its space. I mean, this doesn't have its like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Nothing to support it. No, there's nothing to
give me a second. I have the URL memorized.
2,500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, people who couldn't sail across an open ocean knew that the world was round. They knew it. 2,500 years ago.
How many years, Adam?
2,500.
Okay. Hold on. Keep going. It's
before the birth of Christ. Like, this is how long ago we're talking about. Those people couldn't fly, certainly couldn't put satellites into space, couldn't actually go around the Earth, which people, human beings, have done physically.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I understand it. And Tyler, what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to read off of their website, is only going to make you further believe this is satire. It's only going to make you further believe, but I promise you.
So like that's the thing I have to be clear about, because like they play it straight, but like the original of this thing was a whole thing.
This is the legitimate, they believe it is a flat Earth. And it is.
Are you sure they haven't just conned you and everyone else?
Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly, here's what I'm going to happen. If you start reading this, I'm literally just going to leave. I can't do it. I'm going to take my headphones off and walk into another room.
Before you read it.
And I think you're like, haha, funny. I'm literally going to get up and not listen to this. It'll make it
okay.
Before you read it, though, I have to volunteer Carrie as being your floor interviewer.
Okay. You have to put Carrie out there. All right. Well, with that, we won't read anything. We'll just close out the Nerdcast so that way we can talk with Tyler afterwards and catch up with him. But with that, it was a fun ending to episode 171 of the flattest edition of the Nerdcast out there. No, okay. Anyways.
I know where you live, Iggy. I know. Until
next time. Until next week. Catch you on the next episode of the Nerdcast.